Sunday morning, Parshas Yisro, Tovshin Pei Aleph. Erica, Nita, Maya, Women's Learning Division of Adas Yeshurin. I'm going to start again. I apologize. Everybody looks like everybody's back on the phone after some type of shutdown for a moment. So let us begin. We're talking about Parshas Bishalach, Yud Dalet, Posik Vov, 14:6. Rashi says, Vayeser is Richba, he tied up his chariot. And Rashi says two words. Hu biatzmoi. He did it himself. He did it himself. Hu biatzmoi. He did it himself. Okay, Rabbi Say, somebody is on the phone here without muting themselves, and we're hearing a lot of background noise. So if you could please ask them. Somebody else joined us also with a number 93. Who's 93? No, and a number 23. Who's number 23?
Zisul is 93, Rabbi.
Okay, so people have to mute themselves.
I'm here. I'm 23.
Okay, fine. Okay, so somebody has to mute themselves. Please mute themselves with background noise. Okay, here we go. Vayeser es richboy. Rashi says two words, hu be'atzmoy. He tied up the chariot himself. Rashi says that is a mechilta. A mechilta is one of the mefarshim on Chumash, one of the medrashim on Chumash. Hu biatzmai. Hu biatzmai. What does this mean? Now, the medrash says there were four people who did this. Incredible thing. Four people who did this. I do not know what the significance is of this coming out, tying up their chariot or saddling their horse or their donkey, but four people did this. One of them is right here, Paro. Paro, being a person of supreme power, should not have done this himself. That was not normal for him to do it himself, but he did it. Hu biatzmoi, that's one case. Then we have the famous case, exactly, of Avraham Avinu, which is in Bereishis, at the beginning of the Akedah, Chof Beis, Pasuk Gimel, where it says, Vayachavosh es hachamoyroi, and Rashi says, Vayachavosh es hachamoyroi, hu biatzmoi, he did it himself. Then we have a second case in Chumash Bereishis, when Yosef HaTzadik meets his father for the first time in 22 years. It says in Pasuk Mem Vav Chof Tes, 46:29. Yosef tied up the chariot. Hu atzmo, he did it himself. And then finally, in Chumash, Bamidbar, with Bilam, we also have such a concept. With Bilam, I'm in the middle of shiur right now, I have to call you back. With Bilam, we have something similar, that Bilam saddled up his own donkey when he went out to kill the Jewish people, which is in Parshas Balak. The Pasuk says, Chav Beis, Chav Aleph, Vayakom Bilam, Baboike, Vayachavosh es Asoinoi, says Rashi, Vayachavosh es Asoinoi, Hu biatzmoi. Hu biatzmoi. So four times, four different people, Avram, Yosef, Paro, Bilam. Now, I looked in the Mechilta. Mechilta's in Parshas Bishalach, and it says, Arbo, Osru Besimcha. Four people tied up their horses, their chariots, Besimcha. He did it Besimcha. Avram Osar Besimcha, as the pasuk we just read, Vayashkim Avram Baboike. Yosef did it Besimcha, Osar Besimcha, as it says, Vayesa Yosef Merkavtoi. Bilam did it Besimcha, says Vayokom Bilam Vayachavosh Es Asoinai. Paroi did it Besimcha, Shenema Vayeser Es Richboi. So the question is, What in the world is the Medrash telling us by equating these people? You want to equate Avram with Yosef, we understand it. You want to equate Paro with Bilam, we understand it. You want to equate Avram, Yosef, and Lahavdol, Paro and Bilam together, very hard to understand. Very hard to understand, number one. Number two, Rashi says in two of the four places, he says it by Bilam and he says it by Avram. By Avram, Rashi says, Lashon, again, by the Akedah, by Yashkev Avmoike, by Yachavash Eschamayra, Rashi says, he didn't tell anybody else to do it. The love that Avram Avinu had to do the Ratzon HaBayre, even though it came to the Akedah, the love that he had was Mikalkeles Ashura, broke the normative behavior of a person of the stature of Avram should not have saddled his own horse, somebody else should have saddled it for him. But the Ava, the drive of the love that he had to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, created a situation where he broke from normative behavior. So too, Rashi says by Bilam, Shasina Mekalkeles es Ashura, that the sinner that he had for the Jewish people caused him to break normative behavior and saddle up his own horse. I found that there's a medrash called Lekach Toiv that says the same thing by Paro and by Yosef. By Paro, Sina Mekalkeles es Ashura, his hate for the Jewish people, got him to saddle up his own chariot. And by Yosef, the love for his father got him to saddle up his own chariot. So here we have, it makes it even more complicated. Paro and Bilam, their motivation was Sina. And Yosef and Avram, their motivation was Ava. So how can the Medrash say that they all did it besimcha and compare them? What is this comparison about? What is the Medrash talking about? What does the Medrash mean? What does the Medrash mean? Now, Paro, as we all know, had three advisors. Anybody like to tell me who the advisors were? It's a famous Medrash.
Io?
Io was one of them.
Wasn't Yisro one?
Yisro was one of them. Come on, tell me the third one. The third one was Bilam. Paro had an idea to enslave the Jews, destroy them through poverty, destroy them literally through death. Paro wanted to take care of the Jews. So he turned to his three advisors, Yisro, Iov and Bilam. Yisro was a great man who ran away. He ran away. Subsequently, we all know, he became the father-in-law of the greatest human being to ever live in the history of the world. He was zeichet of a parsha in the Torah named after him. Yisro. An incredible person. Iov. Iov was quiet. Iov became a Navi. Could be he was already a Navi at that time. Iov wrote a Sefer, which is incorporated in Tanakh, called Iov. And according to some opinions of Chazal, Iov was a Goy. A Goy who attained Nevuah. Rav Schwab Zatzal speaks about this at length in his Pirush and Sefer Iov, both in the introduction and later on, page 91 through 93, he talks about this concept. Iov was a Navi. And Bilam. Bilam was also a Navi. A Navi of the level. He had contact, whatever this means, with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, at the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu. So what's the difference between Bilam versus Iov and Yisro? Anybody like to tell me the difference? Anybody want to tell me the difference? Nobody wants to tell me the difference. Why not?
Iov and Yisro didn't give him any support for what he wanted to do.
That's correct. That's 100% correct. What's the difference between them? Iov and Yisro at Bilam all had an internal struggle. Is genocide proper behavior? Iov and Yisro said no. One ran away. One was quiet. Bilam said genocide is a proper behavior. In the 1930s, I'm sure people could Google it. You could send it to me. I don't know if you have to send it to me. I don't want to really read it. There were definitely scientists. There were professors. There were world leaders. There were wealthy people who wrote articles and said how genocide of the Jewish people was beneficial for mankind. It was beneficial for mankind. The Jews are troublemakers. The Jews create problems. It will be better for, it will be a humanitarian act. Imagine that. It will be humanitarian. It's humanistic behavior to perform genocide on a group of people because they are destructive. Are you aware of that? You're aware of the fact that that's what was said. Without question, that's what was said. Bilam, whose Yetzer Hara was in control of him instead of his Yetzer Tov, his drive for power, for gaiva, for taiva, whatever his drives were. We could talk about that perhaps at a different time. But his drives overcame. His Yetzer Tov was overpowered by his Yetzer Hara to the extent that he said genocide of an entire nation was a good act. Again, humanitarian act. I went to the dentist last week. First time in my life, I had to fill out a form. Asked me, I am a male, am I a female, or an other? Now, there are people, I'm way past the joking stage. A very serious schmooze this morning, Rabbi Yisai. Very serious. Oy, Rachman al Islan. There are people who feel that this is an act of chesed. It is a humanistic act at the highest level. That people should be able to express themselves by means of male, female, or other. And people who don't agree are barbaric, are evil, are mean, definitely insensitive. That's where we're living, Rabbi Say. These are people who have been driven to the point that that's the way you should fill out a form, and not allowing people to express themselves is inhumane. Those are people who we call, labeling them, those are people on the left, progressives, liberals. Then there are people on the right who also have opinions. Everybody should be able to walk around with a gun. All types of guns, machine guns, rifles, AK-47s, to express themselves. Express themselves. So I asked somebody, where are we holding? And somebody answered somewhere in between. That's not the answer. The answer is, we are holding with the Torah. We're holding with the Torah. What does the Torah say? Go ask the person who was on the front page of the New York Times this week. I was shocked last night to find out, Reb Chaim Knievsky Shlita, Marenu v'Rabenu Harav Agoyin Agodol Ador, Reb Chaim Knievsky Shlita's picture is on the front page of the New York Times. I didn't even read the article yet. The Torah is what tells us what to do. That's how we know what to do. We don't know what to do because we are intellectually gifted people who know how to think and we can swim through the current and figure out where the best place is to dock. No. We don't know. Without being connected to the Ratzon Hashem, without being connected to the Torah Kedoshah, without being connected to a person who has the Messiah of the Torah Kedoshah, we do not know what to do. Zok the Medrash, an incredibly unbelievable fundamental statement that there was some type of common denominator between Avraham Avinu and Yosef HaTzadik were following in the ways of Hashem. Tzadikim Gemurim, who we have no conception about. Avraham Avinu and Yosef HaTzadik went to do the Ratzon Hashem b'simcha. Says the Medrash, so did Paro and Bilam. Paro and Bilam? Sinema kakel zashura, I understand. Ava kakel zashura, I understand. Simcha, and they're all together in the simcha. Why it expresses itself in tying up their horses or their donkeys, I don't know. Their chariots, I'm not sure. They're all besimcha, yes. Because they were convinced, Paro and Bilam were convinced that what they were doing was right. They had become so krum, so twisted in their logic, that they would think that genocide is not only a good behavior, it's a warranted behavior. It's a beneficial behavior. That's what the Medrash means, that they had simcha. Not that they did the same thing, chas v'sholom. And not that one wasn't motivated through simcha, through sinna, and one motivated through ahava. Of course that was the case. Unbelievable concept. Sinner, Mikalkel Zeshura. Ava, Mikalkel Zeshura. But they all had simcha. Simcha. I believe, even though the Medrash does not say where we know they had simcha, it just quotes the same psukim that they tied up their donkeys or their horses. It does not, their chariots, it does not say the word simcha in any four of the psukim. So how did Chazal know that they had simcha? I think this goes back to another concept that we spoke about many years ago. What does the word simcha mean? What does the word simcha mean? And I said then that there's a kasha, that Yirmiyah was a Navi, he wrote Eicha. In order to write Eicha, you need Nevuah. Nevuah requires simcha. How can he have simcha? Well, he's dancing with the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. And I think the answer is, as I said earlier, energy. Simcha means I am motivated to do what I am doing. And Chazal understood that a person who is able to accomplish what Avram did and what Yosef did and Lahavdil, what Paro did and what Bilam did, they must have been energized to do what they're doing. That's what simcha means also, not dancing and drinking your l'chaim. It means also that they were energized. And I think a raya to this is, if you have a chumash in front of you in Parshas Matos, Moshe Rabbeinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go take Nekama from Midian. And it says, V'yadabe Moshe Alam Lema, Hilchotsu Mitchem Anoshim, prepare men. Prepare men. And Rashi says, Af al pisha shama, even though Moshe heard his misa was tsluya, he was going to die after this was done. He did it besimcha, v'lo icher. What does it mean, simcha? Rashi doesn't know, tell us where he gets the word simcha from, and I think it's the same thing. He did it besimcha. He was energized to do the Ratzon Hashem, even though it meant that when it's accomplished, he's going to die. But he did it with energy. So the Medrash is telling us an astounding concept. That these four people, although they were absolutely two on one side and two on the other side, they were a trillion miles apart, Lahavdil Elv Alfi Avdolos, but in one fact they were the same. They did it with energy. Avram and Yosef with energy of the right way of Hashem's Ratzon, and Bilam and Paro the wrong way, a disgusting way, a horrific way. A twisted way in saying that this was beneficial, genocide was beneficial. Now I'd like to add another piece. Please look at Rashi again, Siyata Deshmaya, because of you people, you incredible people, Siyata Deshmaya, in the middle of the Shira, Tesvov Vob, Yemincha Hashem, Nedori Bakoyach, Yemincha Hashem, Terat Soyev. Hashem, your right hand, Nedori Bakoyach, Nedori Bakoyach, to save the Jewish people. It was adorned with Koyach, your right hand. Yemincha Hashem, Terat Soyev. It was adorned with Koyach, your right hand, to hurt the enemy, overpower the enemy. Ask Rashi, it says Yemincha twice. Why does it say Yemincha twice? Again, of course, this is all Matthias' metaphor. Yemincha, Yemincha, Shnei Pomim. Kishi Yisrael Oisin Esrit Soina Yishol Mokam when Klai Yishol does Hashem's Rotsoin. Hasmoil, the left hand, Nasish Yemin becomes the right hand. What does that mean? That the left hand, which stands for weakness, becomes the right hand. Both of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands, Kavi Yochol, both of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands became right-handed, because they came with strength. With strength. So I'd like to say something here, Rabbi Yisai. Again, if you have a Chumash, and Pasha Shoiftim, Devorim, is an unbelievably famous pasuk. An incredibly fundamental pasuk in how we conduct ourselves. It talks about the obligation of a Jew, the obligation of a Jew to listen to Chazal. Pasuk in the Torah, Yud Zayin, Yud Aleph, and Devarim, Al Pi HaTorah Sheh Yerucha, the Torah that teaches us, V'Yalei Mishpat Hashem L'Cha Ta'aseh, Lo Yisosur, do not deviate min HaDavar that Chazal tell us to do. Rabbi Yisai, this pasuk is the fundamental, the foundational pasuk of all of Yiddishkeit. Don't turn away from that which Chazal tell you to do. Lo Yisosur, V'Yadavar Sheh Yehidu L'Cha. This is what every movement in Judaism has said. The rabbis you don't have to listen to. Maybe we'll listen to the Torah Sheh Miksav, not the rabbis. Not to the right, not to the left. Says Rashi, a fairly famous Rashi, which I personally never understood. Maybe I have an insight into it now. Even if they tell you, are yamin shu small, your right is your left, on small shu yamin, on the left is your right, you got to listen to them. The kol shekain, if they tell you the right is the right and the left is the left. Never understood this. What do you mean to tell your right hand your left hand? Your right hand is not your right. Your right hand is not your left hand. Your right hand is your right hand. Tell you your left hand, your right hand. Your right hand, your left hand. And they tell you your right hand, your left hand, that's for sure. What does it mean? I like to say it means the following. A person sometimes uses his right hand to symbolize what I'm doing now, I'm doing with strength, because it's correct. And what I'm doing now, I'm doing with weakness, because it's not the right way to go. The right way to go is to do it in a quieter way. Quieter way. Yamin is the way I want to do it. Small is the way I want to do it. Comes along the Rav, the Pesach, the God of the door says, no, this is not called for Yamin. This calls for small. Don't do it with power. Do it quietly. Sha, sha, sha. Sometimes you say you want to do it quietly. No, this calls for Yamin. I want to tell you an example, Rabbi Say. I was a very hot-headed yeshiva bacha. I grew up in Crown Heights until I was 11. We moved from Brooklyn to Brookline. When I was 11, when I was 13, a year and a half later, I went away to yeshiva. And I swallowed yeshiva hook, line, and sinker. I loved every minute of it. I will be forever indebted to my Rebbe, the Rashiva Shlito, Shebizach, Rafur Shlema, B'Say Shachal Yisrael. Amen. I once went away for a Shabbos to my friend's house in Queens. He showed me a sefer. The sefer is called Ma Neho Igris. Somebody wrote a sefer arguing very vehemently against Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein's classic sefer is Igris Moshe. He wrote a sefer called Ma Neho Igris. I'm going to answer the letters of Rav Moshe Feinstein. So whole tumult. The printer who was asked to print the sefer called Rav Moshe Feinstein and said, should I print the sefer? It's against you. Rav Moshe said, you got to make money. He said, yes, it printed. Godless of Rav Moshe. Anyways, I came back to Long Beach after an off Shabbos and I went to the Rosh Yeshiva and I said, I'm going to get a bunch of rocks and I'm going to go back to Queens, and I'm going to break every window in this person's house. Argue with Moshe Feinstein, to go to La Dor. Yeshiva took me into his office. He calmed me down. He said, no, it's not the way to go. It's not the way to go. It's not the way you behave. Several years later, I'm married. I'm living in Flat. I'm not living. My in-laws are living in Flatbush. We go there for Shabbos. Went there for several Shabbosos. Those people familiar with the fact that Moshe Feinstein said you may not make an Erev in Brooklyn. And some people made an Erev in Brooklyn anyways. Others decided it was an affront to Moshe Feinstein to make an Erev in Brooklyn. So every Friday afternoon, they would hire a cherry picker and cut down the Erev right before Shabbos. There would be no time to fix the Erev. They cut it down. Again, I called the Rashiva. Rashiva told me, no, it's not the Mahalach. The Chassam Sofer, who was the Rosh Yeshiva's great, great, great grandfather, lived in Frankfurt, was the fighter. Pressburg was the fighter against Reform Judaism, and there was a Reform temple in his town. They never broke the windows. He said, it's not the way we fight. You have to know how to fight. This halacha is about fighting. When you disagree, you have to know how to fight. On the other hand, when I was a bachur in yeshiva, my mother, Allah Shalom, is one of eight. One of her brothers died when he was a young boy, 4 to 5 years old. And then she had five brothers. Growing up, I had my mother's five brothers and her one sister. And my mother was seven. The five brothers at one point in their lives were all Gaboyim and Orthodox shuls. Each one was a Gaboy. My mother's only sister, a wonderful lady, she became conservative. My uncle, Olam Shalom, put on tefillin every day. He benched from a bencher. They were in a conservative temple. I'm the yeshiva bacher, the hot-headed yeshiva bacher. I'm home in Boston. I don't know what it was, a yontif, whatever it was. My mother tells me, Auntie Mildred, my mother's sister, Allah Shalom, they came into her conservative temple and they stole all the silver off the Sifrei Torah. My mother tells me. I'm a hot-headed yeshiva bacher. I tell my mother, I don't care. It's conservative. It's not kosher. It's not la halacha. I don't care. They stole the silver. My mother was so upset with me. So I went to the Rashiva and I said, Rebbe, what's the pshat here? She told me, here, you're not sophisticated. Ramesha Feinstein, he would know it's a not kosher shul, but the Sifrei Torah kosher, and the silver is something which is ornamental for Sifrei Torah. You have to be very sophisticated to not react to this situation. What you did for an 18-year-old was not bad, 19, 20, whatever it was, not bad, but you're lacking the sophistication. You'll get that with maturity of life. That's three stories. Fourth story. I'm Rav in Adash Yeshurin for maybe a year. And there was a dinner. Remember the days pre-corona, there was a dinner. A dinner, 400 or 500 people at the dinner. And the MC is speaking, introducing the honorees. And the husband and wife come up to receive the honor, the whatever they gave them, the plaque. And the MC turns and kisses the wife of the honoree in front of the whole place. I took my shoe off, and I was going to throw my shoe across the hall at the MC. Make a macho, kiss a woman. But I'm sitting at a table. I'm the youngest rav at the table. And nobody did anything. So now I call my Rashiv again. I say, no, what should happen now? He said, you're right. You have to make a macho. And I called in all the women of the shul the next Shabbos afternoon, and made a macho about what the person did. And I called in the next Shabbos all the men and made a macho. Al Yamin, Shu Yamin. When are you supposed to act with strength? When are you supposed to act softly? You need a Rebbe to tell you that. Yamincha Hashem, Nadori Bakoyach, Yamincha Hashem Teratz Oyev. HaKadosh Baruch Hu worked for us so hard, says the Mechilta. When we do Hashem's Ratzon, both of his hands become right. Both of his hands become strong to destroy our enemies. However, when we don't do the Ratzon Hashem, both of his hands become left. He loses his strength, Kaviyoch. Life is not so posh. Now I'd like to add, what happens when people who wear yarmulkes act in a way that is inappropriate? Act in a way that is inappropriate. I don't like to talk this way, I very rarely do, but people who are doing things in Bnei Brak against the police, it's a Shrek. It's one of the nisyonis, one of the tests. In my opinion, it's one of the big, big, big problems of Corona. Interactions between Jews. Rachman al-Assam, people have died. I wrote an article, I don't know if it's going to be printed. People have died for Shteitzach, and people are sick. People have long COVID, which means they're still not healthy, and now there's another strain with pregnant women, with all the ganze tumult. We also have to know how to behave. When should we use the yamin? When should we use the small? And they can tell you sometimes, no. Your yamin is smile. Your smile is yamin. Sometimes you should come out with both your hands like a righty. Sometimes both your hands should become lefty. The kosher cane, if they tell you you're right as you're right and you're left as you're left and you're doing it the way you're supposed to do. What did everybody say? It's a challenge here. A person can be a human being with a tzelem elokim and say that genocide is a proper behavior. Rachman al-Islan. Rachman al-Islan. And we lived through it. There's not a person on this phone who didn't meet a person who was born in the 30s. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. A lot to think about in these parshas. We should be zeicher, Rabbi Say. We should be zeicher to make sure that when we conduct ourselves properly, properly does not mean the way we think ethical, moral behavior should be, but the way the Torah thinks it should be, the way Chazal think it should be, the way they instruct us to conduct ourselves, that's what we need. Okay, challenging and difficult. The people on this phone call and the people in Yeshurun are the people who are trying to do the Ratzon Hashem. Al Yamin, Shu Yamin, Al Smol, Shu Smol. Constantly trying to do that. Everybody should be Zeicha. Everybody should be Zeicha to do the right thing. And the right thing is not decided by the people on the left or the people on the right in the political spectrum. They are all motivated. All of them are motivated by kina, by taiva, by covid, by mammon. Who knows what they're motivated? It used to be a time when I was young and many of you were young. We read books. George Washington gave up the presidency, even though the fact that there were kings all over Europe. And when they asked him to take a third term, he said no. They used to say wonderful things about George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. I don't know what they'll say anymore nowadays. Who knows what they're going to change the history books. We grew up with people who had some type of dedication to a concept that was somewhat L'Shem Shemayim. And nowadays, nothing is L'Shem Shemayim. L'Shem Kovod. L'Shem who knows what. It's a pachad, Rabbi say. It's a pachad. Okay, I thank you all for listening. We should all be zeicher to be matzliach, Rabbi Say. Have a wonderful week. Please take care of yourself. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Kol tov.
Thank you.